I want to minister from something from the Word of God, but also from my heart that I had told Anthony, you can't say enough what a privilege it is to even be a part of this church, to be a part of our fellowship. 1981, the latter part of that, the beginning of 82, came up to Prescott. It sounds funny now. I was tired of traveling in the music business, so we came up here to initiate a couple music stores. First, it was Bill's Records and Audio, and then it was Eli's. We stocked market over to some people out of Salt Lake, and then that was transitioned into the chain called Hastings. So myself and about five other guys had started those, and I'm so glad I obeyed the will of God. Hastings went bankrupt, but God's will goes on forever. So thank God for the privilege to be here, and I was in Guam recently and had a whole sermon, worked very diligently at it about Daniel and distinguishing ourselves. And then last night after our Bible study, I was just, man, I can't explain it, inspired, convicted, and wrestling through the night, and just finally got up at 3 a.m. and put together some thoughts. And so I want you to turn, if you brought a Bible or all, you can trust me to read it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9 and 10. I had the privilege a little while back of being over in the great nation of Texas, and I don't often take note, but I got in early, and the young man that picked me up, he had instructions whether just to take me to a meal and then go back to the hotel room, but I knew that they were involved in their last night of a pioneer rally that was initiated by a much smaller church, not the one I was preaching. And I said, no, I'd just assume we'll get a coffee on the way. Let's go to the service that night, and we'll just, you know, take it from there. And I'm so glad I did, because the guy that was going to the church there in Temple, Texas, Marvin Wells, black American, is the pastor, very much smaller congregation, and yet they were doing this rally. And one of the ushers, he wouldn't say it himself, but he had just been recently diagnosed with, I think it's called lymphoma or lymph something. It's not good. And they had told him immediately he needed a spinal tap and he needed to go in for emergency treatment. But he says, I'm not going to do it until Monday. I want to be involved in this rally. And the reason why is that he had in his Sunday school class, he got his inspiration here from the Prescott, the Children's Church Workshop, that he had challenged his kids for the rally, and they had raised $399.53. And he wanted to give that night in the offering from those kids. You know, I thought a lot about that, and then last night as we were in our Bible study, if you went, you know what a great opening it is. You know, may this be one of those God moments. That we are living, my brothers, not only in the last days, but I mean, people are talking smack out there. It is unparalleled. The things that are going on, I suppose you could say politically, the things that are going on geographically and in the weather. But what I find to be more disheartening is when I'm in other places and always take flyers and try to invite people out during the day on my walks, it is, we need to understand, we also here in our church, in our fellowship, we have our own culture. We have our own things going on, and how we each as individual men could either add to that or take that away. And so I was very inspired last night in our Bible study group, and I want to talk just a few moments before we minister and pray for many of you about thermometers and barometers. Out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, there's a couple verses Paul writes to these Christians at Corinth, and he says in verse 10 and verse 11, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, bless our time together this morning. I'm asking you to reach down deep inside the hearts and the spirits of every man represented here this morning. Help us, God, to receive refreshing and encouragement, God, that every one of our lives can make such a difference in the now and in the eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we, as I said, we have a culture of our own, and I'm looking upon this group, and my goodness, it's amazing the different cultures and no doubt the nationalities that we have here this morning, but on top of all that, it's kingdom culture first. You know, a lot of people I talk to and a lot of people that I get to pray for, and many men, good men, just like you, that say, well, I want to have revival. I want to be a part of revival. I want to see revival in my life or my family or my friends. But if that is to be true, you're going to have to want that revival more than anything else. That there's nothing that can take the place of what God can and wants to do in your life. Now, to any of you that might already be saying, well, you know, dude, you know, buddy, you don't know my story. I've had some drawbacks. I've had some failures. Duh. Can we talk? That is not the end of your story. And so we're going to have to, in our church especially, you know, people ask a lot of questions, and if it's not off the wall, you know, because as an evangelist, my fellow evangelist, no, we have a three-prong motto from Prescott: stand up, speak up, shut up. We don't counsel, we don't advise people, we don't get drawn in, you know, to the wrong battlefields. And so if it's just something, you know, about what we do, that's not a problem. But sometimes people begin to prod, well, what do the brothers think? Or what do the brothers say? Or what does Pastor, hey, here's my phone, call and ask him. But we do need to understand, with all the opportunities that we have here, we must look at this text and make a decision. I, as an individual man, we're going to build right. Right? It's saying that. Let every one of us take heed how he builds. And so we look at this, you know, foundations, and many of you guys, I understand, you're either construction workers or you do remodeling, and you know what I'm talking about. That here in Arizona, you know, it's not always as easy as it looks. You could build a house, you could do all that stuff, and after time, things begin to settle, doesn't it? You know, we just recently had our house repainted. It's just amazing, you know, some of the cracks and stuff that begin to happen around the windows, and things begin to shift and things begin to change. And that's why that Anthony Castillo's had the mind of God to initiate these men's breakfasts. I mean, I don't know about you, but that burrito's worth showing up for. I mean, we're joking, but it's true. There's people that will sit through false doctrine to get a bowl of soup at Salvation Army. What we have in our church and our fellowship, it really is precious. And so the earth itself, especially in Arizona, it's always shifting, always moving, and you cannot build by always looking online. You cannot build by what somebody else says. You cannot build on somebody else's opinion. Sooner or later, you are going to have to come to your own conclusion. You're going to have to come to your own decision. This is what I believe. This is why. And nothing or no one is going to deter me from doing what's right. You know, most of us, if we be honest this morning, we get one life per customer. And we always like to say, unless you're Roman Gutierrez, then you get two. If you don't know who that is, ask somebody after. But we get one life per customer. And it's true that a while back, being in Killeen, Texas, one of the places I've gone, you know, it's amazing, since that church was pioneered, they have had seven different pastors. But what is so amazing, it is powering on because the foundation was built on Jesus Christ. Wasn't built on some personality, wasn't built on this or those kinds of things. And if you go into the Bible, whether it's Abraham, whether it's Isaac, whether it was Jacob at Bethel, they built an altar and they placed a stone there. That stone is a picture of our firm rock, the person of Jesus Christ. And when they poured that oil out, that is a picture for the person that we have today of the Holy Spirit. And so in Luke 6 and 47, Jesus says these words, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what kind of man he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Not if and when the floods come and the stream beats vehemently against that house, it could not shake it because it was founded upon the rock." This is the difference between you and I making it as a Christian man or not making it, not being on the roller coaster of our emotions. Can I get an amen? This is the difference, and I will say it without fear. I'll say it without any kind of embarrassment. We are all in rehab. Every one of us are rehabilitating from something. And I get really annoyed some places I preach. You know, you can just feel it. People looking down the nose. Well, I would never smoke or take pills. No, but you drank champagne. Or you con people to get to the top of your corporate world, and that's stealing. And so we need to understand that the difference between rehab and relapse is your foundation. Our foundation needs to be built right. And so, you know, especially this time and season, you know, the weather changes, and I know, probably hope it doesn't happen here, but in some of these churches out there, when the weather changes, man, it's like this viral thing sweeps through their nursery like a hurricane. You know, people start, and you know, we go, if we know what it is, you know, antibiotic. But you see, an antibiotic, it treats the cause, not just the symptom. Our problem many times is men, we treat the symptoms and we bypass the cause. You see, in our church, the culture we have, the atmosphere that our pastors are laying for us, it could treat anything that's invading, not your white blood cells per se, but your faith, your heart, your attitude. Our pastors want to see you and I make it. And I'm so thrilled. Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." So here we have it. In our great nation, and could I still say we are still the United States? Despite what you read, despite what you hear. But it's not just our nation, it is in our church, in our fellowship. There are cultures, there are customs, there are different artistic things and different characteristics that make up a social group. And these individually, they create a culture. Yes, they do, brother. Thank you for that. They begin to create, as it were, an attitude. And this will be established over time. Praise God. That's why the Bible says, when men can see your good works. This is one thing we'll all have to cross this bridge sooner or later. No matter what your culture is, no matter what your nationality is, you are called, sir, to be Christian first. Because in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, Scythian, bond or free. We won't talk about the male or female. We're males. There's no gals here this morning. But We need to understand that it's Christ. It's being a Christian first. And having lived in Africa for a few years and traveling to different places, I'm telling you, those cultures are so real. And they are so prevalent. And some people take them to the extreme. And that brings us to here. And that's us taking culture home with us. You know, sometimes culture needs to be changed. Sometimes it needs to be, let's just say, re-edited or reinforced. If you work at a job, you have a business, you know, you try to get the employees, you try to get people to agree the service we're providing, whatever we're doing, we're agreeing on what we do. Now we're going to agree on how we do it, right? And so this is true whether it's business, whether it's in school, any of these kinds of things. We want to establish something that other people will take with them. Now, if you're going to get angry, you're going to get angry right here. I don't give a flip and rip too much about sports. I should. But the traveling I do, it's very difficult to keep up. I don't so much care in the NBA who wins as long as the Spurs lose. I know that's not nice, whatever. There's personal reasons there. But what is amazing, that times I go into San Antonio, it's like you begin to read about this group called the Spurs. Do you know there was more than once they were in the NBA playoffs, and out of that 15-man starting squad, 9 were from different nations? You want to know what makes a winning team? 9 different nations on one team, and they begin to indoctrinate them. The culture of San Antonio, the culture of the basketball team, the culture of working together. And I can't even tell you how hard that would have been to do, to take that many men from 9 different countries and incorporate that into a team that has one thing on focus, and that is win the championship. Listen, I've read to the end of the book. We win the championship. We win. We win. And yet what is so amazing that in our church, we have a culture. And that you and I as men, every single one of us, we add to that. We should add to that. And for our church here in Prescott, we have a culture of evangelism. We set a tone, whether those we hang with, those we begin to work with, they're going to be liberal or not. And whether you understand, whether you're part of our church or one day you'll pioneer or be a missionary or maybe be an evangelist, the key there is to try to get everybody in that church on board. That we literally buy into it. Can you say amen? And we have that here. But what we need to understand is that it's our pastors that preach. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know that. But we don't live our lives in the church. We need to carry this home when we walk out the doors on a Sunday or a Wednesday or this past finished tremendous revival. Whatever it is, we need to understand that you and I also create a culture. And sometimes the culture needs to be changed. The insight, if you would do on your own and you study the life of the man named Daniel, he made a decision. I'm going to do what's right. This guy, for the fault of his entire clan, they were captured. They were taken to a place they didn't want to be. They didn't talk like them. They didn't act like them. They didn't eat like them. And yet, Daniel made a decision, I am going to distinguish myself. I'm not going to be like all the other guys. I'm going to be different. And what is so tremendous about that is if you and I will make that decision every day, it may not feel right, it may not look right, but if you will say, I am going to do right, you establish a culture. You begin to establish something that is so powerful, and the enemy will not be able to come against it. Because if we could be honest, and we can, we are all products of someone else's influence. It always amuses me when I meet the self-made man. I'm my own man. Really? You and the 3,000th guy that followed that trend or that fad or whatever. But this is not a bad thing. We are all the result, the product of somebody else's influence. And think about this. Some of us have friends. Some of us have family. This stirred me last night when we were thinking about Brother Allen's mom, Lorraine, before she passed. Family had come to visit. And one of his uncles, I think, would be the brother of his mother, comes into the church on Sunday morning and he raises his hand and he gets saved. And then his mother, Lorraine, goes and graduates. Do you know every time a new person walks into our church, they are going to be influenced by our culture? Amen. A new convert or all these kinds of things. And the thing I see in a revival, you're only there for a week, but you can see a lot in a week. And some of my fellow evangelists know what I'm saying. You can see some visitors come in, some new converts come in. And the problem is, if we don't establish the culture, other people will. The visitors might, or backsliders, or whoever else they might meet in the road called life. And so that's why we do here, Jesus People Weddings. Basically, Jesus at a funeral, Jesus at a baby shower, Jesus, Jesus, you know, we're into this man named Jesus. He's our Savior. And we need to understand that as we do this, we want today, it's going to be two winks and a blink, it's going to be 2018. Deny it all you want. The rest of us in reality have already bought a calendar to put on the wall. The issue is not, are we going to be another year behind us? Are we going to be another year older? Are you another year better? Can you look at your life, the mistakes, the things you've learned, the things you've done, have they been a positive influence in the culture of our church? Because people can get into God's presence here, and if we will do that, they'll be willing to get into it. You know, we all know the story, the man named Saul, and his story's interesting. In 1 Samuel 16 says, "Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be he will play it with his hand. And when the distressing spirit comes upon you, you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." This is a pretty intense testimony of David. You have David with you, he can change the atmosphere. He could change your attitude. He can take away that distressing spirit. And if you and I are involved in a group, or you and I ourselves get around a visitor, get around a new convert, and we gossip, we promote jealousy or strife, that is creating a culture, brothers, that is not conducive to what we really believe as brotherhood in this church. I believe with you, anyone can walk in those doors. Tomorrow, anyone can walk in those double doors in the sanctuary, whether it's a gangbanger, whether it's a drug addict, whether it's an alcoholic, whether it's a banker, a professional businessman, no matter what color or flavor, we believe anybody can walk in those doors and be affected by the atmosphere and say, "Man, I want to be a part of this." Enough of talking smack about him or her or them. And I hear it when I'm out there. "Hey, I want to invite you out to church." "Which one?" "Well, the Potter's House or the door or what." "Oh. Oh? Well, I used to go to that church. What do you mean you used to? And then many times they'll tell the sordid tale how they got caught up in this quagmire of the war of words. And I, you know, God love you. You guys, some especially, when I went through discipline, when I went through the woodshed, buddy, I could still smell the splinters. And you guys were there to just encourage me. You didn't have to say a bunch of, you just, we're here for you. And you have no idea the difference that you can make when somebody else goes through it. You know, a while back, I think it was maybe Josh, it might have been Bridget, handed Jeannie a card, and on one side, you know, thank you. Then on the back, you know, just, I was so inspired, you know, to Second Chronicle, you know, just talking about a life worth living and what a difference we make to each other. And I think sometimes we forget that unless I'm a pastor or unless I'm this or that, that's why these home Bible study groups are so valuable. The man who draws away is a man who will surely stray. When you see a brother begin to isolate himself from the rest of the pack, nothing good's going to come out of that. Praise be to God. And I do. You read in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they're thrown in jail basically for outreaching, right? And the Bible tells us some very fascinating words. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Why does it say the prisoners were listening to him? Because when God broke in, the original jailhouse rock was not Elvis. It was this one. God began to shake that prison, and the doors began to open, and all the chains fell off of all the prisoners. And isn't it amazing the Bible records for us in the book of Acts that all those prisoners, they didn't run, they stayed. Because they saw something in Paul and Silas. I want to know more of this. And even the Philippian jailer, when he comes in thinking they all escaped, he's going to kill himself with this sword. And Paul cries out, do yourself no harm, we're all here. And he comes in and he bends down. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've been wrong my whole life. I've been indoctrinated. I've been trained by Rome. I've seen nothing but hardened criminals. I don't understand any of this, but I want to be around this. See, this is what we have in our church. Men of all kinds of backgrounds. Men of all kinds of cultures, yes? Some of you came from very, very dysfunctional families, I've heard testified. Some of you came from perfect families. Well, the church is not perfect. And we could understand something that will be a takeaway blessing for you and me. No matter what we have been through growing up, we can become the man of God that Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross 2,017 years ago so that your life can be a life worth living. And the influence that we have over one another. Don't get caught up when someone excels or somebody gets to pray or somebody gets to, I don't know, minister, whatever that is. Don't get caught up in jealousy, okay? Don't get caught up in some vain comparisons. Well, I'm not like him. Of course you're not. You're you. If you'd be like him, you'd be twins. Well, I, you know, Don't get caught up in those things. We are absolutely in this together. And when you talk, and when you fellowship, when you go about your ways, talk good. I'm not saying denying every problem that's you know, real and stuff, but you know, there's some times when I'm talking to a brother, we're talking about stuff, and we say it in confidence. It doesn't go any further. That's what a Christian would do, unless it's something moral, ethical, legal. But I think it's probably Christian that if you have aught against someone, you probably ought to go to him instead of everybody else on your cheering squad. Because Paul is letting us know that we are God's building, but we have to realize we have to take care in how we build. So many men, for we pray, they leave everything up to God. And that's okay to a point. But some things God leaves up to you. And one of those is how you build your life. You know, I believe with all my soul, this could be the most fruitful fall we've ever had as a congregation. I mean, there's more in the air than just pollen. These really are the last of days. And if you have purposed your life to make a difference, now is the time. Because it isn't going to be, as we always like to joke, but it's not that funny. It's not going to be one day well thought, well intentioned, well planned. It's only going to be well done. And you and I standing shoulder to shoulder, brothers, we are part of the greatest church this side of heaven. Our fellowship is unique. And trust me, you don't have to, but I'm asking you to, please. The little bit of traveling I do, what we do here is becoming more and more challenged, more and more unique, more and more spoken against. But what we do, it works. Because I'm just one of those simple guys that believes if God could save you. Come on, man. If God could save you, me, He could save anyone. And the hope that we have, the thermometer, take your temperature this morning. The barometer, is the barometric pressure changing? Is there a storm about to come every time you're around? Or can you bring fair weather? I hope it's good. I have friends sometimes about the last night of a revival. So, you know what, man? How in the heck do you stand up every dang night and you preach on encouragement? Because I've been encouraged. I've experienced firsthand. I've been redeemed. I've been given a second chance. I have brothers in a home church who have become so much more than just family to me and my wife. We are in this together. And we're not questioning what God wants to do. We're not questioning what God can build. We need to ask ourselves today, what am I building? What influence am I having over the other brothers in our church or the different people I talk to at work or at school? Let's be men of faith. Let's bow our heads, please, and hold our place there in our heart just for a moment. And again, I only apologize for the many hours I spend, and God said, that's not, you say what you want to say, but that's not what I want you to say. Today it is. Just for a moment while we pause and Christian brothers are softly praying, We live in a world, we live in a generation that literally every day is pressured and forced to make choices and make decisions. And sometimes when we make those choices, they look right, they feel right. But then down the road, those decisions, those choices, they're not producing, they're not bringing about the change of life that we know there is. I believe this morning God is so faithful to convince and yet convict. That maybe this morning, sir, you're here, you know there's more. You're ready for a change. You know things on their own are not working themselves out by your own effort. Well, it never was supposed to. That's why God gave us a Savior. And this morning, very quickly, before we change this men's breakfast and pray and ask God to really, really help us solidify this fall season of opportunity, that maybe you've come in today and you don't understand all this about building. You don't understand all this about influence, but today you know deep inside your heart, sir, you're not under the influence of God. You know today you're not saved. You're not right with God. Maybe you are backslidden. Maybe you've begun to make some wrong choices, begin to go the wrong direction. Well, there's great news for you. When a man is going the wrong direction, all he has to do is turn around. And today, maybe that's you, right where you are, just as you are. You want to be remembered in prayer. And today, you say, you know what, buddy, I don't know all this you're talking about, but I'm not saved. I'm not right with God. I'm backslidden this morning. And I want to get right. I want a new start in my life. I want to be forgiven. And if that's you, sir, without anybody else looking around, you want to pray. You want to get right with God. Would you lift up your hand quickly one time all over this place in Jesus' name, unsaved or you're backslidden? Just slip your hand right up to keep you in prayer and put it right back down again. Oh, God, you're so good to us. We are at best, Father, vessels of clay. Reach down, God, by your Holy Spirit. I bind pride and fear and intimidation, and I loose your mercy. Unsaved or backslidden, sir, you want to get right. Would you put your hand one time right up? Put it right up, put it right back down. Thank God. Thank God. Then I want to change the appeal this morning as I guess I've said it once, I'll say it twice, how much I appreciate Brother Anthony Cascio's effort and his heart in these men's breakfasts and just the privilege to be involved in one. I'm usually either flying back or flying out somewhere. What a blessing it is to have brothers like you. When my wife and I stumbled into the church on 937 Roos Street, latter part of 81, the beginning of 82, it was Pastor Mitchell's preaching. I can't explain it, but something inside of me. God has more. My life can change and I can be different. I can make a difference. And it's because we had an attitude, an atmosphere of discipleship and church planting and the camaraderie. I remember the days that somebody would get a 16-millimeter projector and we'd help each other show a film on the side of their apartment complex. Didn't care who got the credit. Didn't care who would get the accolades. And that is the spirit I feel again today. It's happening again. But the devil wants to assault this. He wants to breed comparisons and maybe jealousies. And in some of you brothers, incompetence or insecurity. I want to tell you the influence of what kept me. We made a decision to be part of our church by going to our Bible study. That group of people, man, is just reaching out, those brothers. And many still in the church here today, was mentioning to one of the brothers this morning, Brother Mike Rush, I drilled out of the music business, and one day I'm wearing a shirt and tie, the next day I'm cutting grass and raking dog dew. Well, a guy like Mike Rush is never going to probably be on the front of the Trumpet magazine, but at least seven different pastors have passed through his workplace. I want to tell you, brother, your life can make an incredible impact for God. That God doesn't forget the former days. That you and I, we're men, we're vessels of clay. This I understand, but we must resist. And we must, as God's word said, we must take heed how we build. There's no other foundation. There's nothing else that would put this varied group of men together in a room on a Saturday morning. Nothing would put us together in common bond outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And this morning, God is stirring you, speaking to you, to break the power of that lack of confidence, to break that fear, that intimidation, to be willing to be a man. I don't understand all this, but I really do. I want to distinguish myself. I want my life to count. And that is you this morning. You are going to make a fresh decision. I'm going to be careful what I say. I want to be a man that will influence other brothers for good. And that's you. I want you to lift your hand right where you're sitting. So I want to make a fresh commitment. Yes, yes, yes. Thank God. Thank God. Yes, thank God. Thank God for you, brothers. I'm going to ask us this morning to stand, and we want to pray. Believe God. You know, all the way back, the Wowens and now the Woodcocks, and there's this guy, man, he comes to the children's church workshop, and he says no to a spinal tap. He says no to what's going to save his life. I can't wait. We took in $399.50 in our children's church for world missions. He got that here. What we have, it is life-changing. Now I want you to put your hands right onto your heart. Now I want you to pray this morning, and I want you to say, "My Father in heaven, I do thank you for the understanding and the knowledge that you have saved me for a reason and a purpose more than just heaven. But in the now, you're going to help me to be a man of influence and a man of purpose and destiny. I break every stronghold of fear and intimidation. I will not allow comparisons to assault my mind. I will lift up my fellow brothers as I know they will lift me up in time of need. Father, release your spirit and your anointing over every part of my life. Thank you so much for saving me and loving me and setting me in this group of men. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen." Let's give the Lord this morning some praise. Father, we thank you, God, so much for these men. Lord God, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Lord, you are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. I tell you, our God is an awesome God. He's full of power, of might, and there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do. Even when he brings us across borders, across other places, We could know, brother, that God Himself places every one of us into a body just as He pleases. And God wants you to know that in this place, sir, it's not just a place where you belong, that you do. It is a place you still can become all God has for you. Can we give the Lord today some praise? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, our God is good. And heritage, it's such a powerful thing. That you and I could go through times and seasons where there are question marks, there are lots of things. But God wants you to especially know things are not what they seem. They're so much better. And what God has begun in you, my brother, He is going to complete it. In the will of God, in the kingdom of God, we do what's right, and then we leave the results to God. And as we do that, God will take you into this godly heritage, this influence that is unprecedented in these last days. To be a Christian husband, to be a Christian dad, unbelievable assaults against that, Brother Phil. But God is going to give you a renewal of strength, a renewal of hope and vision and purpose to cross the finish line exactly what you've always been, a winner. Let's give God some praise and thanks this morning. Father, we thank You so much. Praise is unto Your name. Thank God. And the man that opened in prayer, J-R-R-R-R. You know, it's never, I suppose, an easy thing to be an evangelist. But especially an end times evangelist. Such a need. Such an assault. And yet such a blessing. And God Almighty wants you to know, Brother John, He is going to gift you far beyond even what you've been asking Him to do. He is going to roll back and open up your eyes in the supernatural spiritual arena that you are going to see God with your own eyes, sir. See God do creative miracles and give insight into people's needs, and it's going to be infectious. It is going to be something worth catching. It's called faith. Can we once again give the Lord this morning some praise? Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many love the Lord? Nine of us? Okay, that's good. We're believing for all of us to be so. And you know, I just so cherish the memories of what we have had. But I also, Steve, look forward to the memories we yet will have. You know, there's something so powerful about a man that when life says it's going to be this, it's going to be that, who will not take that for the answer. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to go on. And look what God has and is doing for you. Brother, you are a testimony to every man who has a bad hair day and wants to give up. Every day's a bad hair day for me. But you, sir, are a tremendous example of God's faithfulness, yes, but your tenacity to keep on doing what's right, because other people are watching us. And what a testimony, Steve, you have built in the kingdom of God. Let's give the Lord some praise today. Father, we do thank You so much. God, Your faithfulness and Your mercy. Thank God we get to actually do something with this message. We need help. That right after the breakfast, we need help for all the guys that could spin over, not spin out, setting up chairs at the 180. A very special night tonight, and got to get ready for all these things. So after breakfast, anybody that can go over to 180, is that right? And set up the chairs at the 180 venue. And I'm really just believing God for just the greatest conference ever. I don't want to be a person that gets emotional, and I am not going to use emotions. This is going to be a very different conference for me without Dennis. It just is. And I'm telling you, there's not a one of us that haven't prayed, God, give me a portion of Evangelist Dennis Wright's ministry. It begins when you minister to the guy standing next to you. And we need every one of us to do what we're called to do. And who knows, there are other Dennis Wrights sitting out here this morning, because now is the time to make our lives count.